Hey, everybody. This is Adam, host of the podcast you're about to listen to, or co-host, depending on what podcast it is. That doesn't matter. I just wanted to let you know that if you don't have anything to do this weekend, and you sure don't, what else is going on? Come out to the Hollywood Hotel Saturday night, 9 p.m. That's October 27th. We'll be doing a live episode of Unpopular Opinion. Even better, it's a performing under the influence episode of Unpopular Opinion, meaning we'll be coming out and telling jokes stone sober and then getting fucked up and recording a live podcast just for you. Your guests are going to be me, obviously, Quincy Johnson II, John Fahey from the Profiles in Eccentricity podcast, Jessica Singer from the Take a Walk podcast, and Matt Lieb from the podcast you're about to listen to right damn now. The show is free. It starts at 9 p.m. You can't afford not to go. Unpops, performing under the influence live. It's going to be a damn good time. We'll see you there. Thanks. We love you. Enjoy the show.
El futuro tiene nada más que la confrontación.
Hey, welcome to Unpopular Opinion. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. I used to write a bunch of weekly columns for a bunch of internet places, and I would use those columns to put forth all sorts of crazy opinions. Then I'd come on this show to defend those opinions. But now I don't really do any of that shit. I just do a whole bunch of shows. Joining me today, she is a fantastic comic. If you have a chance to go see her tell jokes sometime, you should absolutely do it. She's also a frequent guest on the Unpops Network, especially on Unpops Every Day, which you should be listening to every single day. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so happy to have her here. Olivia Hydar, also joining me. He is the co-host of the Film Drunk Frotcast, which you might have heard me on before. If you didn't hear me on it before, goddammit, go listen to it. He also does a whole bunch of videos for AJ Plus, and you can see him telling jokes at our Unpops Live show this Saturday at the Hollywood Hotel. Ladies and gentlemen, Matt Lee, also joining me. He is one of my favorite people in the entire world. He's the host of the Cracked podcast. We used to work together at Cracked. If you don't know him from all of those things, maybe you know him from being a four-day Jeopardy champion. He's rich now and lives on an island in the middle of the ocean. Ladies and gentlemen, Alex Schmidt. It's going to be a great show. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Unpopular Opinion. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown, and I have a shit ton of guests today. It's a full house. Three whole guests. Matt Lieb is here.
Yo, what up? I'm here again.
From Film Drunk's Frotcast.
That is correct.
AJ Plus.
Al Jazeera Plus's News Broke, the number one comedy show on the Al Jazeera Digital News Network. If you like Al Jazeera, you're going to love News Broke.
100. Sounds great, honestly.
It's incredible, dude.
That was Olivia Hydar.
Hey, that was me.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
I'm good. When was the last time you were on the main podcast?
The main pod? It was a while. Oh, it was earlier this summer, talking about George Soros.
Hell yeah,
Soros!
Dude.
Yeah.
Soros. Dude, we covered Soros on News Broke AJ Plus.
That's okay, that's all right.
I got so many checks for that pod, by the way.
Hell
I'm
yeah.
So glad that you hooked me up with those Soros people.
Yeah, Soros is really the shit. Dishes out when you stick up for him on a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Also here, Alex Schmidt.
Oh, hey!
Schmitty the Clam of the Cracked podcast.
Yes.
And also 4-day Jeopardy champion.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Honestly, shouldn't this podcast only be about that? Because I have a million questions. I have a million answers in the form of a question.
We'll ask a few questions. I mean, we have to. It's the elephant in the room.
Yeah. What do you want to know?
You were on Jeopardy. What was that like?
It was.
You know, the hardest part of the show for me is the first few minutes, because I spend all that time asking everyone else what's going on in their life, when all I really want to talk about is what I've been up to since last week. So that's why we call this segment This Week in Me, and I guess we have to talk about me now and get really intense on the guitar. Oh my God, Matt Lieb, do you have nicotine gum?
I don't.
Ah!
the first time it honestly feels kind of rude.
Yeah. Oh, I've been planning this all morning.
Oh.
It was all I could think about. But yeah, for real, we have questions.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, that I was gonna say that if anyone questions Adam's commitment to that bit, stop questioning it.
Yeah, seriously,
that was
more.
Wonderful. Yeah, for real.
Yeah, you could have like freaking Lee Harvey Oswald on here. I just killed the president. Well, tell me about it. I like though that in your face, you were honestly a little uncomfortable to do it, and a little bit. Yeah. You were just like, I have to. I'm sorry, Alex. Yeah, I have to do it.
It's the way this podcast works. But we do have to talk about Jeopardy at least for a little bit.
Oh yeah,
before we get.
I'm very fortunate. It was great.
Four in a row.
Yeah,
four
wins. That's crazy.
That's amazing.
It was great. Yeah, it was this past week when we're taping. Yeah, it was like I played Monday through Friday in you know world time. We taped it all in one day. But yeah,
damn.
Yeah. Yeah, I did not know that.
Yeah,
they do five episodes in a day.
Oh, yeah, so yeah. you knew exactly how many episodes you won then?
Yes, I could not tell people because it's functionally like a TV spoiler, right?
Right, for sure. Yeah.
It's like if I was on Game of Thrones and told people you know
so...
who I stab and which dragons happen.
I didn't know that, so I just figured like, man, this is a great week. But I mean, it's still a great week. You still had
I know what you mean. Yeah.
It's just
a
great day.
That's but like every day, I thought. You would come into the office like, oh, hey, Trebek, and then, you know, drink some coffee and be like, I'm just crushing it,
That's
like,
still
punch in.
Such an insane, like, trivia marathon, though. Just to, like,
yeah, I could see that I was pretty tired watching myself and toward the end of it, you know, because, it's a long day.
That's nuts.
If I get 90 minutes into a trivia bar show, I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
I'm worn out.
End this, please. How long did you have in between episodes?
Not very much time. Yeah. Because you change clothes each time because you want to have the feeling of
right.
Oh.
Day is best, you know? And then
trickery.
I would use the bathroom and then it was pretty much time to go again. Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. When did you eat?
And they tape three and then there's a lunch break and then you tape two more.
Okay.
So there was a lunch break.
There's food in front of them the whole time.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Edit out. Utilizing.
Yeah. It's like
everyone's taking
I can't touch it.
Bites of
every
sandwiches.
Every time you buzz in, a little pellet goes in your mouth. So that's
And people should take their like tests and try to be contestants. It's a lot of fun. Everybody's very nice.
Yeah.
Nothing but good things about it.
Oh, I already know I'm bad at Jeopardy because I watch Jeopardy and I just say, you know, like, what is Montana? And then they're just like, what is Detroit? And you're just like, oh, one is a city, the other's a state. That's right.
Before this, I hadn't watched Jeopardy in a while. And watching it this intently, like, it really dawned on me how weird that what is, like,
the question,
and answer.
Yeah, I'm still not over that either.
Because if someone came to me, and this was a question on one of your episodes, if someone came to me and was like, hey, what is in absentia? And your answer was, this Nazi war criminal was tried this way. I'd be like, what? Give me another answer, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a weird way to frame an answer and a question. Yeah. And it's kind of like, it's the laziest device in order for like making a quiz show different, but it's also...
Right. It's just questions.
It's just like, what if we make it so the answer, you have to have a question.
Right.
But it still works really well. You watch it and you're like, I don't know.
To LA comedy. We're all happy for you. And then 4 minutes later, fuck Jeopardy.
Fuck Jeopardy.
So
it's the lamest game anyways.
I can't believe you went on that show.
What's the deal with Jeopardy?
Real?
Jeez Louise.
Hey, what are we actually talking about today on the podcast?
We're not talking about trivia shows?
No. Well, I mean, we should have.
Too bad.
Yeah, I thought about it briefly, but that would have felt like overkill.
Yeah.
If we just talked about game shows. We're talking about China. Things are tense with us in China right
now.
Yeah,
it's not good.
Yeah.
It's really bad. I'm glad we're going into this so jovial.
Yeah.
Yeah, the music is carrying me, I think.
Yeah. We're not at war with China right now.
We're in a trade war, though.
We're in a trade war, though.
The way you phrased, we're not at war with China, is basically like, we are at war and you just don't want to tell the kids or something.
Yeah.
Like,
we're not at war with big air.
We're not going to die fast.
It's going to be slow.
It's going to be an economic death.
It's going to be a slow scrabble for resources over the last remaining land that's above water. And then it's going to die.
Yeah, I am curious if we should be at war with China.
No.
No, of course not.
Yeah, probably not. War's but also bad.
They have so many people.
They
have so many people.
Even if all their people were very weak people, even if they were, I'm not saying they are, even if they were all weak, they would destroy us just because you put 10 of them. There's 10 for every one American.
Historically.
That's probably not right, but there's so many of them.
Historically, going to war with a strong China is a mistake.
Yeah,
I think it's safe to say.
You got to go to war with a weak China.
Yeah,
how many people have tested China?
Japan pretty successfully in World War II.
Yeah, they did the best.
Japan held their own for sure.
But I mean, also the Japanese are used to fighting the Chinese more than anyone in the West is.
Yeah,
so.
They seem to be at each other's throats a lot.
The article that kind of gave me the idea for this. It was just a thing on Reuters about how China canceled these security talks that we were supposed to do in October. And you look into it a little more, and it turns out they're annual security talks that we've been having forever.
Yeah, it's been years and years.
Yeah, and now just this year, China's like, let's hold off.
I mean, but also they don't have – it's not like they don't have a reason. You know, Trump has been continually provoking them for no real reason. He's got a spur in his ass for
China.
I mean, the trade war stuff, I haven't looked into it enough. I don't discount the idea that we don't have the most balanced trade with China, and maybe
it sounds right.
Need to correct it.
I don't know enough to dispute it.
Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah. I haven't. It's such a boring thing.
But that doesn't mean we don't have opinions about it,
right?
I mean, that's what the podcast is.
No, but I mean, doesn't China only hold 5% of American debt? But it's kind of like, it's presented as them holding like 50%. Like people are like, oh, they own all of our debt, and they could, you know, they can do a fire sale and destroy our economy, but they only own 5% of our debt.
Yeah, I don't think it's as much as people make it out to.
Yeah,
and also if they, I mean, that would have negative repercussions for against them too, that often aren't like talked about when they talk about the threat of China to the U.S.
If they could just like push a button and destroy the U.S. economy and be fine, they probably would have done that.
If it wouldn't affect them, then totally.
Well, the whole thing, I mean, it's very hard to have any perspective on numbers when they come up in the news.
Yeah.
So no one really knows what's going on outside of absolute experts. But it does seem like we're just fighting with them a lot in a very argumentative way. Like, that seems clear. It's not numerical. It's mean.
Again, no, it doesn't seem like there's any like concrete reason other than it's just what this administration wants to do.
Yeah. I mean, one of the craziest things that happened recently was Trump went in front of the UN and was like, oh, yeah, China's trying to meddle in our upcoming midterm elections to keep my side from winning.
Yeah.
And they just cut to China's UN representative who was like,
yeah, just what?
What?
What are you talking about?
What do you mean? And then Trump just carried on like didn't like
you
hold
know what
up
you
a
did.
Fucking pie chart showing like Facebook ads or anything.
You know what you did. Yeah, at least Netanyahu has the decency to bring a meme on stage in front of the UN and be like, this is Iran, this is Iran, this is Iran. But no, when it comes to China and Trump, he's just like, China's bad, take my word for it.
Yeah.
Yes. Pretty much.
Yeah. I don't even like the way he says their country's name. China. It's got a lot of stank on it.
Yeah, it really does.
It. Yeah.
Which country? China?
China.
China.
The way Trump says China. I really don't care for it.
It's, yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard that.
It's China.
China. When
it's
goes,
like
China.
Long and weird.
China. 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 Like, it's really how he scrunches his face up.
Yeah, it's almost like he's doing the racist eyes thing. Yeah.
Pretends
like,
he has buck teeth.
He's basically doing like an accidentally... It's a Japanese caricature, but he thinks it's Chinese because he's, you know.
That tracks with
Trump. That does. Sure. He doesn't know the difference.
That makes perfect sense.
But yeah, he definitely, I think, just has, he identified China as like the enemy of the like working man in the United States. you know, it made everyone think like they're the people you should be afraid of. And so he's using it. It's the economic nationalism that Steve Bannon kept talking about. He goes, if Trump continues to go after China, then he'll get reelected because people think that, you know, the reason that we don't have coal miners anymore is because of China. When it's like, no, that's not.
Yeah.
That's not the reason. It's because we don't have coal trains anymore.
Yeah. Because coal is an inefficient form of power.
It's been inefficient for a while. Yeah.
Like, I would have noticed that, buddy. We all ride the train every day to get everywhere, okay?
I'm just going to charge my iPhone with this coal. Just plug it right in.
We just did an episode of the Politics Podcast about Trump and wind energy. And he has had this grudge against
hates windmills.
It's because he built a golf course in Scotland in 2006. And at one point, they wanted to put a wind farm offshore, and he said he was personally offended by having to look at wind farms.
Yeah.
Really?
Out his
he
window.
Hates the look, and he said, and he to justify his hatred, then he also came up with the thing of that, like killing a bunch of birds.
Yeah, that's right. I do remember that.
He's tweeted something like 60 times about how windmills kill birds, but he also sometimes says birds kill windmills. So it's like there's this fucking war raging.
That's the
depends.
Hold on. So he. He holds both of these opinions at the same time?
Yes. Yeah.
Or does he just like mean to write windmills kill birds and just mix it up? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It might have started as the latter. Yeah. He might have accidentally done it, and then he's like, oh, no, but also.
Yeah,
right?
It depends on which side of the bed I wake up on. Some days I hate birds more than windmills.
But
some days
are bigger than others.
So many of his policies, especially his foreign policies, all come from these dumb personal grudges that he's held for years because of business practices. So
it's like, kind of amazing.
Even the NFL thing.
Yeah, the NFL thing. The only reason he really hates China is because they've fucked up a lot of his business concerns.
Yeah.
For good reason, because his business concerns are terrible.
Yeah.
But it's
like you'll know how he governs based on like his personal history with a specific region or people or anything.
It's the exact opposite of what you want from a diplomat,
it's
basically.
Insane.
It's the literal exact opposite.
Yeah.
Insane. Yeah, because if nothing else, it's super predictable.
Yes.
And like you want, if you're going to do diplomacy or deals, you need to be a little hard to read.
Right.
You know? But people just see him coming a mile away every time.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Anytime he's anytime he's worried about like the personal suffering of people or any living thing, that's when alarm bells should go off.
Because
he's,
like,
he's up to something.
Something's happened to him.
Yeah. Who's the enemy of this person who he's protecting right now? Because I bet it's his enemy.
So let's get back to China and a thing that happened recently. Just a couple weeks ago in the South China Sea, there was, and this is a quote from the U.S. Navy, an unsafe and unprofessional encounter with a Chinese warship. It sailed within 45 yards of a U.S. destroyer as it passed by Chinese-claimed features in the South China Sea. That's pretty close.
That's really... This whole situation, first of all, it's crazy that it hasn't been a story.
Right.
Because I didn't know about it until you sent the show notes.
Yeah.
And it's this is one of those things that could start a war instantly.
Oh, absolutely.
If it had gone slightly differently.
Yeah.
And that's a terrifying thought.
Yeah, 45 yards is so close. Like, that's a completable pass for most people in this room, I think.
Yeah.
I bet any of us could nail a wide receiver on the fly.
You give me 45. Way too much credit. But so just so I understand what it means, the Chinese warship, like, was fucking with the U.S. warship by sailing close to it.
Right.
And then what does it mean by it passed by Chinese claimed features in the South China Sea?
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
What China's doing is they're going into the South China Sea where there's all these islands that the Philippines own and Vietnam owns, all these islands that are claimed.
Oh.
And China's just dredging up thousands and thousands of tons of sand to build their own islands.
Oh.
So they can put military bases and shit there.
They're making islands.
They're making their own islands.
Creating islands.
I love islands. I eat the North Shore taco at islands.
they're building islands to put on islands.
I love islands. I have never eaten an island at an island's on an island. That would be nuts. Sick.
I've never eaten at an island.
Oh, they're so good, dude. Even. They're really underrated.
Honestly, they have a really good happy hour.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah. But anyways, this is terrifying. I guess me and
Alex have to hit an island sometimes.
I only know it as a place that one friend of mine does like a joke birthday at, but every year. I think they really like it.
Yeah.
Isn't it ironic? But they're there every year.
That's right.
It's probably good.
It's like an Applebee's but with a tropical theme.
That's what I do with Red Lobster. Every year I'm like, we're eating at Red Lobster, but like it's pretty good. Okay.
But like more biscuits, obviously.
Yeah, more biscuits. Like, sir, I will have your reddest lobster, please.
And so, speaking of the South China Sea and all of our military bases in Japan, that's kind of the issue there, is like, especially with what's been happening with the Philippines lately.
Yeah.
Where the Philippines, for the longest time, were our tightest ally in that area. And they're like a good, if we did ever have to go to China on some war shit,
right,
the Philippines is a good halfway point where we could... like stop and, you know,
there's harbors.
Re-up.
Get our fucking life, video game shit.
But yeah, no, Philippines was, I mean, but aren't they still our ally?
But they shouldn't be.
They still are. They almost weren't because Obama, like a fucking nosy Nelly, spoke out against Duterte killing drug users
also,
in the street.
Duterte is killing lots of people in the street. He's a bad person.
The Philippines is where the next genocide will happen.
Yeah. Oh.
Because in addition to all the people that have been murdered, hundreds of thousands turn themselves in to avoid being murdered. And where are they? Like, what's
exactly?
Gonna,
oh, shit.
He's going to let them back out?
Duterte is a pure fascist dictator at this point. It's really insane.
And he has threatened to break our military ties, like to sever that alliance that we've had for such a long time. So that would weaken our, because we basically control the South China Sea, because we have Japan, have Australia, we have the Philippines. Like
we've got lots of allies.
We call the shots there. Yeah. And China wants that to not be the case anymore, which doesn't seem that unreasonable, it's the South China Sea.
Yeah, and we're like,
yeah, but that's just
so
a name, bro. That's just a name.
But what that does, like the locations we do have in the South China Sea area, they allow us to kind of keep China contained in a military way.
Mm-hmm.
Because China's military's big, but it's not big like ours. Like, if we both
navally, right? We have a huge navy.
Yeah, we have a huge navy. We have thousands more nuclear weapons than China.
Thank God.
Yeah.
But when will we get thousands more?
The only country with more than us is Russia.
Oh.
Yep. Also, thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank God, good. Dude. Yeah.
And then, like, third is, I think,
I love the
France.
Cold War.
Like
France? That's so weird.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. China's way down the list.
It's like a cartoony third, right? They have like five and then everybody else.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Another thing that's happening with our relations in China is there's a lot of sentiment, or public sentiment is turning against our military bases for some reason.
Yeah, I can't imagine why.
For some reason, generations of young people are growing up thinking, hey, I don't want a U.S. military base.
What
has
our military
backyard
ever done to the world? I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's pretty chill from what I remember.
Like, imagine if China just started opening military bases in the United States.
Yeah, exactly.
We would not take kindly to that shit.
Or Mexico, even.
I mean, it depends what they do with it. Yeah, like, if they make it, like, a theme park, then I'm down.
Yeah.
Well, also, military base is known for their roller coasters.
That would be so sick, though.
Well, also, like, the news cycles have been so bad, I half expect to just go read that later.
Yeah,
like,
no.
Oh, there are Chinese bases in the country.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, okay, sure, all right. That sounds right.
It's crazy. That's so true. It's the amount of, like, insanity in the news cycle that if you tune out for a little bit, anything is possible.
Yeah. Yeah, like, okay, sure, fine.
Yeah. I'm going to be mad about that in 6 months when I have time. Damn it. But something that's happening now, Okinawa, we have 33 American bases on Okinawa and about 25,000 troops.
And Okinawa, just
very small.
It's a tiny place.
Yeah.
It is a small island.
It's a very small island. And about
how many football yards is it? That's how I understand these things. No,
only in football yards.
And half of all American troops in Japan are based there. And I bring that up because Denny Tamaki, the son of a Japanese mother and a U.S. Marine, first mixed-race governor in Japan.
Oh, wow.
He won the governorship of Okinawa, and he won basically campaigning on promising to shut these military bases down.
Good for him.
Well, that's good, though.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good in a sense. It's good Like, if we want to keep being America, it's not good.
Right, because, right. If we want to stay in imperial power, then it's less good.
Yeah, for
right. But that's bad. So
yeah.
It's bad. But isn't it kind of cool? Like, it's kind of like we...
No. American imperialism is dope if you're an American. Like, it is like... It is pretty sick. I love owning shit that I don't get to go to, for sure. It all depends on who becomes the next superpower, you know?
Yeah.
I'm down to downgrade America into, like, a medium power if it means less, you know, foreign wars and intervention.
We should be closing these bases anyway.
Right.
Because...
But do we want China to be the world superpower?
I don't think we have a choice.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is like, if the choice is between stopping them, you know, from becoming a superpower by going to war or just letting it happen, I'm kind of like, just...
And going to war isn't a sure thing. Like, we probably would lose that war.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm fine with whoever. I mean, in a few years, I feel like the whole notion of superpowers is going to be...
it's going to be gone. Yeah, it's just going to be who has the most Twitter followers.
Yeah, exactly.
which world leader has, like, the dankest memes? Yeah. That's all that's going to matter.
Yeah, President Edgelord. Fucking with the sick Pepe memes.
We have a vote for President Edgelord right now. We have President Edgelord.
We do.
I do think it's amazing that a mixed race governor in Japan was voted as governor. He won the race.
He was also the first mixed race representative in their House of Representatives.
That's a big step.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah, because, you know, that is for Japan. That is definitely unusual.
Totally.
So that's good. I mean, I think that's good. As someone who likes open societies and liberal democracies.
Yeah, totally. I think this story is mostly a good story.
Yeah.
Like, there's definitely complications when it comes to the getting rid of the U.S. bases, and not only just for Americans, but for Okinawans who would lose funding. Probably face some pretty harsh penalties. Even though, I mean, but. Those penalties seem kind of ridiculous when you think about what he's just asking for, which is just more autonomy for Okinawa, which makes sense.
Is the worry that Japan might decide to switch allegiances in the South China Sea to the Chinese, and then they will control all of the South China Sea, and then
I don't know that switching allegiances would necessarily be on, because there's still a lot of animosity between Japan and China because of World War II.
Yeah, that's right.
What it would do is make our allies in the region a little less secure.
Yeah. Right.
South Korea and Japan, if we weren't there, China could fucking take them.
Yeah, if China decided to become aggressive militarily, then those would be the first targets hit.
Right.
I feel like that might be... I don't know. It's tough because you don't want to make decisions for people living in another country.
But right.
Also, us having military bases there to begin with was us making decisions for people in this other country.
No, totally.
And if they're saying they don't want them.
Yeah.
I mean.
It's so interesting to me because I know very little about this region. I know more about like Middle East geopolitics. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But when it comes to this, I'm like, I don't know who's friends with who. I mean, I do know, obviously, that China and Japan aren't friends. And I know South Korea and North Korea aren't friends.
Oh, I don't even know what it's like living near a military base. I've just never done that.
Oh, but, yeah.
I mean, I haven't either.
The story is sounding like it seems like maybe there's some positives of the base and some funding that comes in. But also maybe it's taking up land, or I don't even really know if
land,
it's good or bad.
They said, they were saying that, I can imagine this, that it's so noisy because you have all kinds of vehicles and troops and stuff moving at all hours.
That's like the worst neighbor ever.
It's worse than, it's like a ultra bad airport that you can't even use. You can't even use the airport to go somewhere. Yeah. You just have to listen to it.
Yeah, right. you have to deal with the traffic.
You can just see the food court, but you can't.
Yeah. Exactly.
I wanted was to eat at that Firestone Grill.
And everyone who works there has automatic weapons.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a region right now where everyone's it's kind of the U.S. and China are sort of grappling for power in that region. And I feel like the U.S. is sort of losing. Like when you look at what's happening in the Philippines and this vote in Okinawa, and even with North Korea and South Korea kind of being like, all right, let's be friends. And it feels like there's a move to try and, like, this is when China's moving to insert itself as the world power,
right,
over, yeah, us.
It's almost like, I mean, for the last 70 or so years, that whole region has been recovering from World War II, like a lot of the world has.
Right.
And then subsequently, like, the Korean War and all this.
Yeah.
And we're starting to see finally a move away from the American almost colonization of this area towards more of a self-sustaining, self-governing thing, which I think is, again, is good.
Yeah. One thing China is doing, though, they're going out to nations that are really struggling but also have a lot of resources. And it depends on what side you believe. They are either helping to rebuild these nations while also taking advantage of their natural resources to help themselves, so like a good deal for everyone, or they're setting debt traps for these countries where they're giving them so much money, knowing these countries aren't going to be able to pay it back. And at some point, they'll just be like, well, we own you now.
Yeah, yeah. IMF shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're doing that in Africa. They've kind of been doing it in Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
So they're definitely making moves on the world stage that they haven't in the past. Because they've normally been kind of an isolationist sort of country.
Right. I feel like, though, I mean, again, it's hard, I think, for Americans to kind of sit in judgment of that, because it's the same stuff that we do all, like, have done for years and years. I don't know. If the shoe were on the other foot, I feel like we would feel that that's our step towards becoming the world player that we feel like we're entitled to be.
Yeah.
Right.
And when another country is doing that, then we are all of a sudden very threatened.
Right.
By
right.
The same action.
I have an issue also with when people talk about Russia and then they go, well, you know, America, you know, interferes with elections all the time.
Right,
it's like, that's true, but it's both bad.
Exactly.
They are definitely both bad. But at the same time, I do feel like the people who are the loudest about how bad, you know, Russia is and whatnot, I feel like you turn on CNN, you hear the vitriol about Russia, and it's like, I agree, Russia
is a little extreme.
But it's like, I don't think you were nearly as mad about this when America interferes in another foreign election. So it's like, I don't know. I just kind of like, try to have a balanced view on it, you know what I mean? Where I'm like,
yeah, but that's also
both bad.
That's also like me being mad that the Brewers are in the NLCS.
Right.
And you're like, well, you weren't mad when the Cubs were in it. Well, yeah, the Cubs are my fucking team.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a good point. Yeah.
Brewers are not.
Yeah.
But also, the team thing is kind of a whole problem with the modern world that is
I'm very nationalist.
Everybody.
I didn't know if anyone knew
this.
This is a white nationalist podcast.
Oh.
Did I not make that clear?
Cool.
It's a good thing I am a Christian man.
Yeah. I am definitely a white, straight, cisgender person.
I just set a gun on the table. Did no one know that?
We're just doing bits.
Yeah. Well, also, like, when we were saying before about China didn't used to do this because they were more isolationist, like, they're getting to do this now, it seems like, not because we think they're a great person or country to be doing it. It's because we're just choosing to be isolationists now.
Right, like, right, right.
They're only getting the room to do this because we're letting them, and we really shouldn't be. Because I do think we're a better country than them in how we act on the world stage. But also, it's not like we're letting them do it because it's like, well, they're also great. We're like screwing it up.
China feels like what we're headed for in terms of, especially the way China treats political dissidents.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, we're not even close to what China, and we'll get into a little bit of it, but we're not even,
Not close, though. I mean, it's worse. I'm not trying to both sides it here, but
we're still at least in that phase of being a country where when we do bad shit, we're at least trying to have some rationale behind it.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
trying to make a point about why we do it, whereas China, they're just like, it's just what we do, man.
Yeah. As corporate as it is, we do have a free press, and we do, like, if a political dissident in the United States were to be detained and in an undisclosed location, it would be a bigger deal.
Yeah.
That being said, you know, we do extrajudicial killings outside of the United States. We do a lot of bad shit.
I mean, a woman was just put in jail for laughing at Jeff Sessions last year.
Yeah.
That she was put in jail.
Yeah.
Spent jail time for laughing.
One of the things that China is doing right now in terms of human rights abuses, which if anyone's interested in hearing a whole lot more about China, check out the What in the World podcast that I co-host with Quincy Johnson. We've talked about this a whole lot. And last week's episode was about China and the Uyghur Muslims, which, man, is that bad times.
It's like a nightmare sequel to what was happening in Rohingya in Myanmar last year. Or still going on, it might be. But yeah, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're rounding up Uyghur Muslims and putting them in detention camps. And it's for one person just recited a Quran verse in public, and they put them in a detention camp, a re-education camp.
Right, right.
And they have millions of these Uyghur Muslims rounded up in these camps. The ones who aren't in camps, China is putting QR codes on their homes.
So
they can
fucking
officials can just walk by and scan and get all the information they need about them.
So dystopian.
Yeah, that's crazy. I love that. That's horrific. That's the new Star of David. It's just a QR code because we live in fucking geo hell. What was going on with Tibet? Like in Tibet, I know that they. I mean, I don't know much about it, but I do know
it's not dissimilar because Tibet, any of the regions China has a lot of beef with.
Yeah,
a lot of it has to do with that region wanting to be its own place.
Right. Right. Yeah. China thinks it owns Tibet.
Right. Right. And its religious minorities and ethnic minorities always seem to end up being in detention camps and all that stuff.
As happens a lot. I mean, that's kind of the way it goes.
This particular part of China where the Uyghur Muslims are is an area of China that borders Kazakhstan. And they would like to be their own country, but then China has no buffer between now they have this kind of safe zone where they can just really oppress the shit out of people, but it's still China,
right?
So Kazakhstan and all these other countries can't use it as a port to get in.
Oh damn.
And what they're doing to these people is fucking insane.
It's nuts.
And but they also do crazy shit to just their own citizens. This story. This Chinese internet star, she was detained for singing a disrespectful version of the national anthem.
Yeah.
And this is the video that got this girl thrown, well, not thrown in prison. She was detained for 5 days. But what she comes out saying is, I mean, granted, it sounds like a racist doing.
It does sound
a racist version of the national anthem.
Hello, 同志们，晚上好.
This is just a dumb YouTube video.
Yeah,
she's just sitting at a microphone having fun. Yeah,
it's a nice mic though.
It's a really nice mic.
Yeah, you can tell she makes money.
Well, she's
how old is she?
She's 20.
Thank God, she's
tens
cute.
Of millions of followers.
Yeah.
And that was her doing her disrespectful version of the national anthem. She was detained.
It was disrespectful.
Probably.
Yeah, but also, who cares?
Yeah.
She was detained for 5 days for singing the national anthem in a disrespectful manner while broadcasting live. Police just described her behavior as, quote, an insult to the dignity of the national anthem, which repelled internet users.
Not repelling internet users.
That's your greatest sin.
Oh, no.
Here's Roseanne doing something that should get her thrown in prison. It's weird that static noise is coming from her.
Yeah, that's nuts.
She's actually tube and throat singing.
This was Roseanne 1.5. They hadn't quite gotten all the kinks worked out.
Right.
Yeah. I think this is when her brain broke and she became racist.
Yeesh, Roseanne.
This isn't disrespectful. She just sucks at singing.
Not that bad.
I mean, yeah.
Oh boy. What an era.
This was when Roseanne was cool. I missed that.
And then she grabbed her dick.
She was actually hella cool in that moment.
Yeah, that was that's such a cool clip. I like that.
Does she? I gotta know. Does she nowadays talk shit about Kaepernick?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah. That's disrespectful to the national anthem. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I mean, she's changed so much too. Like lately, they interviewed various famous people about her, and Sinbad, I guess, told people like, "I'm so upset with who she is now, and here are all these stories of her being actively awesome. Trying to help minorities in
right.
the past,
yeah.
and I don't understand
it's
what
so
happened."
So sad, yeah. what's happened?
It's
yeah,
like if you could, I would love to time travel and be like, "Hey, Republicans in the early '90s, you were about to love Roseanne, and you're about to love." Democrat mega donor Donald Trump. Yeah, yeah, like your two yeah. favorite people
yeah.
soon. It's crazy. Yeah.
And yeah. eventually you'll hear about and hate Kanye West, and then you'll love him.
Right.
Just not his music.
Yeah.
So yeah, she was detained under China's national anthem law, which was just implemented last year.
Yeah.
Cool.
And you can get up to 3 years detention if you sing the national anthem in a disrespectful way. Her account was deleted and all her videos were taken offline.
Damn, that is the worst thing they could have done.
But also listen to her statements that she had to make after. First, I sincerely apologize for the fact that I did not sing the national anthem in the live broadcast in a serious manner. My behavior deeply hurt everyone's feelings.
Everyone.
Sorry. Sorry to the motherland. Sorry to my fans. Sorry to everyone online. Sorry to the platform, which that's, you know, that's an apology, I guess. But then she added that she would stop all live broadcasting work, carry out self-reformation, painstakingly deepen reflection, fully accept ideological politics and patriotic education.
Wow.
And diligently study the relevant laws and regulations of the national anthem law of the People's Republic of China. She also said she would watch patriotic propaganda films and participate in volunteer activities.
Holy shit.
So that is a lot.
Yeah.
Merch link no longer in bio.
That definitely sounds like it was written by a teenage girl and not the police.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. She certainly came to that on her own volition
and is
of sound mind and body.
Yeah, that's
a
so
notary
that's
harsh.
That's really creepy.
And that's the kind of shit China does to people all the fucking time.
Yeah.
Like they just disappeared that actress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For like two months.
No, they disappear a lot of people. They disappeared the owner of a used bookstore for selling dissident books.
Oh yeah.
This is their
They'll
shit.
Disappear you if you talk about like they hate Winnie the Pooh.
Because he kind of looks like Xi Jinping.
Yeah, they make fun of Xi Jinping using Winnie the Pooh, and now Winnie the Pooh is banned.
Yeah.
Like, Christopher Robin did not come out in China because Winnie the Pooh is a persona non grata.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
It's crazy.
Didn't know it.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
It's what you should look it up. It's one of the
It's pretty funny.
Because, any political dissidents in China, their big symbol is
Winnie the Pooh because
to make fun of Xi Jinping.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, Google is also, they seem like they're gearing up to get into China again. They've had this project going called Project Dragonfly.
Uh-huh.
And it used to be a secret, but they went public with it last week. And it's basically a censored version of the Google search engine that they're going to launch in China.
They're stoked on it.
Yeah, they're really excited about how it's going.
Yeah, they're like, this is great. It's always great to test this fascist technology with a fucking totalitarian country.
Yeah, they previously had a censored search engine, but they shut it down in 2010.
I remember that.
It lasted from 2006 to 2010. And they were like, no, we don't want to censor people's thoughts in other countries. And now they're like, nah.
Yeah, they're like,
censor people's thoughts.
Yeah, the tide is changing and censorship sounds kind of fun.
Seems like maybe authoritarianism is hot right now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Of course.
A city in China is launching a fake moon to replace streetlights.
I sincerely think this is a great idea.
I mean, if it works, I guess it's not the worst thing.
Isn't this the Truman Show?
Yes, it's also the Truman Show. It is also the Truman Show.
When it confuses me, too, because the way I understand moons, right, is that they go around the entire thing they're going around, right?
Yeah.
So is this moon going to be for everybody? everybody, or is it just for this one?
Well, that would be
Let's all get our understanding of moons down.
I think it's just going to be there.
I think it's just going to be hovering in the sky.
It's like a geostationary moon.
Yeah, it's not like
a satellite.
I don't know if it's a. Is it going to be a?
This is weird.
It's a satellite.
So is it going to be in space?
Yeah, it's
my understanding was that it was just going to be high altitude.
It's happening in the city of Chengdu. They're planning to launch an illumination satellite in 2020, which is designed to complement the moon at night.
Moon, you're looking gorgeous.
This is seriously just for the gram. I love it. China's doing it for the gram.
Except it'll be 8 times brighter than the moon.
Oh, good. They're trying to out-moon the moon.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like A Star Is Born. It's just going to replace it. You know, it's too old.
A Moon Is Born.
And the People's Daily reports that, or the People's Daily report credits the idea to, quote, a French artist who imagined hanging a necklace of mirrors above the earth, which could reflect sunshine through the streets of Paris all year round. He is probably in a camp now.
Artist. Damn, dude. Yeah.
They took that idea from him and locked him away forever.
That French artist did a lot of cocaine in Studio 54.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, what if like a disco ball moon, though?
Oh, yeah, we could do lines off the mirror moon.
Let's do a line off the mirror China moon.
And we don't have, we're getting near the end, but they're also building a submarine sinking laser satellite.
Well, that makes sense. I could see that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's way less crazy than the fake moon.
I mean, the regular moon already sinks submarines with lasers.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I think that sounds cooler than it actually is, where it's like the laser isn't sinking the submarines. It's just...
It's to locate.
You can use the laser. It's like, they call it LIDAR.
Yeah.
Which...
I've heard of that, actually. Yeah.
LIDAR. So they
it's like Liger, where you're like, that's not real. And
that's
then
what
you
people
look
call me
real.
When I lie. LIDAR.
I've got LIDAR.
But they just point the light down into the water, and then it reflects back, and you're able to like see a lot further down into the
water.
It
makes it so submarines can't hide.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's a thing we've been working on forever, and China seems to have maybe finally figured it out.
Sick.
Which we're supposed to beat people to stuff, so I don't like that.
Yeah.
I know, it does feel like your Cubs are losing here, but you know.
It sure does.
Your poor Cubbies are the entire United States
government.
Yeah,
I feel like maybe the Cubs weren't the best ones to pick for this.
Yeah. All right, does anyone have any final thoughts on China before we get to comments quick?
You know, I just love China. I just want to say, I want to get out in front, and I want to say I'm a big fan of China. Uh-huh. I love barbecue pork bao.
Absolute.
I think it's great.
Oh, it is great.
China, if you're going to come for us, I'm like down. I think you're cool.
Hell yeah, dude.
Don't put me in a camp, please.
Yep.
Don't put any of us in camp. I own a Huawei phone.
Yeah.
The Mate SE, the one the government told us not to buy.
Oh, shit.
And I bought it.
Man, you're because a rebel.
I'm not a Chinese dissident.
No.
It's true.
Yeah, me neither. I want to say xie to the government of China. That's thank you. And, you know, I look forward to pledging allegiance to you.
I'm willing to sacrifice as many Winnie the Poohs in the streets as possible.
Oh, I'm for sure.
To win favor.
Gut and Eeyore. No problem.
I don't really have
Alex, pledge your allegiance to China before we do comments.
No, thank you. I feel like diplomacy is very helpful with not just having wars all the time.
Right.
Yeah,
we like don't do diplomacy anymore.
It's, like
it's crazy.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, we've really given up on that.
Yeah,
like that's been what it's for thousands of
it's
years.
It's like we should be doing diplomacy, but also the people who we have don't want to do diplomacy, and also I wouldn't want the people that we have doing diplomacy.
One other thing, I failed to mention this while we were talking about China for the past hour. But one thing, like one of our main means of avoiding war in the past has been sanctions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what China has been doing is they've been going to places like Venezuela, which Venezuela has the largest reserves of oil in the world. We didn't find that out till 2014, which is when we all of a sudden started seeing them as a threat to our national security. But what China's been doing is going out to countries like Venezuela and offering them money in return for access to their resources, And one thing China wants to do is set up a separate oil market that's not run on U.S. dollars.
Oh, shit.
And that's how we implement sanctions on companies that sell oil, is we say, well, you can't trade in U.S. dollars, which means you can't trade on the open oil market, which Russia can't do because we have those sanctions on them.
Yeah.
China wants to set up a separate oil market that's run on their currency instead, so countries that we've imposed sanctions on can just go around that and still sell oil.
So,
that's one thing that's making our traditional means of not going to war.
They're undermining our sanctions.
Yeah.
That's messed up, dude.
Yeah, they're using the same. Again, I mean, you know, not trying to boost sides, but it is. These are the kinds of diplomatic tactics that we've used in the past, again, to avert war, which is good.
Yeah.
Using tactics to avert war, but yeah, it's scary on the other side.
Yeah.
Fuck, dude.
Yeah, it's a process that lets you get other countries to do a few of the things you would like them to do in exchange for there not being wars.
Right.
And we don't do it anymore.
No, because we're
it's amazing.
Run by absolutists who just want all or nothing.
Yeah. Like even the when Trump decided to move the embassy to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And it was like we could have asked for something in return for that before we just did it.
Yeah.
Even like even starting a trade war with a country without asking them to like be better on human rights or something.
Yeah, right.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
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 Oh, good times.
It's love
good time
the world. The world is great.
Good time to be an American.
Thank God for podcasts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it gives us something to do during the apocalypse.
All right, let's get to comments quick. You know, it's a big world out there.
Fuck yeah.
It's easy to feel like the things you say don't even matter.
Hello, they moon. Don't.
But I want you to know that's not true. It's why we call this segment Your Voice Matters, where we read your stupid fucking comments from the last episode.
Yeah.
And respond to them personally.
Oh, this
personally.
Is making me horny.
Yeah. Personally.
Yeah. Personally.
Fade it out, Brett. Brett still does a great job.
Yeah, he's
fading those in and out.
So good.
Brett,
all
thank
the
you
way
so
from
much for
Yahoo
all the work
Sports.
You do.
Yeah.
We're never going to tell how we rigged it up. All right, let's get to comments. Rye Guy says, always enjoy Joe on any podcast other than ATB. He seems to be the only person who acknowledges that people exist outside of California. He's talking about Joe Dosh.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
Who is from South Dakota.
What's outside of California?
New York.
China, as I understand it.
Yeah.
Oh,
China.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
We were just doing the whole thing.
Yeah. Alex is from Illinois. He gets it.
I'm from Indiana.
Yeah.
I know. Oh, where in Indiana?
Just north of Indianapolis.
Sure. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sick.
It sucks.
Where are you from, Matt?
I'm from Los Angeles. There's nothing outside. There's nothing outside of California.
There's nothing inside of California.
Yeah.
Bert89 says two things. One, the Dems will keep losing if they keep recycling the same people. How are the leaders Biden and Kerry? There's really no one younger, more charismatic, or less WASPy.
Agreed.
I agree with that.
Yeah,
despite
100%.
This weird tone.
Yeah. And no matter what, it feels like we should have settled on our person by now.
Yeah.
Like, we really need to get a jump on things.
Like, for 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be good.
It's
yeah.
so annoying, especially since, like, all of the, like, the people that they're pushing, the younger people, a lot of them are so, like, I'm sorry, but Cory Booker is the most saccharine fucking dude ever. He sounds like he's acting. What, like, did you watch, if you watched any of the Kavanaugh confirmation, like, I wanted to like Cory Booker a lot, but he just sounded so fake and sanctimonious.
Yeah.
I was just like, these people are not going to win. You can't win with these just actors.
I don't.
You know?
I can't think of anybody who I would want to run right now who I think would have a chance.
Bernie,
winning.
Dude.
No,
Bernie's literally.
Thank you.
The,
he's so fucking old.
He's
so
old.
White.
He's old.
No,
but he would win, and he's dope,
he would
dude.
Not win. He would not win.
Bernie
he's
for
so
life,
old.
Dude.
He's such an old cooter.
I love
fucking does nothing.
I love how old he is. I love that his top things are healthcare and the temperature of soup. like he is my guy.
I as far as Biden goes, I wish he would have run in 2016 if he was gonna.
Yeah,
yeah,
that
yes,
been,
yeah it, but
that
he
was
also
the time to
is
do
like
it.
The anti-healthcare. I mean, he just is no good.
Yeah.
None of the people we've got right now are good.
Bernie, dude.
Yeah, John Kerry can't run.
No.
If John Kerry runs, I will kick him in the nuts.
I love
what
him.
A dumb fucking move that would be.
That would be so
I'm still mad at John Kerry for 2004 when there was There was some weirdness with the fucking Ohio results, and John Kerry was just like, whatever. I guess I lost. We fucking fight for that the way Bush fought for it in 2000.
I do not like John Kerry.
And then second part of that comment, it worries me when people brush off the idea that Trump could delay the 2020 elections when 3 years ago they were denying that he could even win an election. Mm-hmm. Logic went out the door a long time ago.
Yeah, I don't brush that idea off. I've been talking about that since before he got elected.
Yeah.
That's a possibility of what could happen.
Mm-hmm.
I could think he could still fucking delay the midterm elections if he fucking wanted to.
Yeah, we did just talk at the beginning of this episode about how he was saying China's trying to meddle in the midterms.
Yeah, exactly. That's clear, like, setting a stage for anything he wants to do.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, he was setting a stage to deny the, you know, the election results in 2016 when he knew he was going to lose.
Exactly.
And
right.
Yeah. You know.
Max says, ATB, it's been driving me nuts when you call her Dianne Feinstein when it's definitely pronounced like Einstein.
Oh.
See what I did there?
Does not it.
I'm a Bay Area native who's been grudgingly tolerating her centrist ass for decades. So that's my Emma saying bona fides. Then I heard that clip you played of Trump, and he pronounced it the same way. Is that where you got it from? Because Trump 100% knows the right way to say it, and it's just being a dick.
Mm.
I guess I haven't thought about it that much.
Yeah.
I don't want her to run for president either.
No, that would be awful.
Oh, my God.
I honestly can't imagine many worse candidates than her.
Yeah.
Ugh. Well, and we were talking about this earlier, because off mic, there was the TV on, and they were talking about Beto O'Rourke, who I just learned you say is Beto.
Yeah.
Because I consume all information through text for the most part. And so I just assumed it was Beto, and I think I assumed it was Feinstein. I'm very text-driven, so then you never learn to pronounce stuff.
I thought it was pronounced Bato. No?
I could
like
be.
Like Vato.
I only heard it once on CNN.
Well,
so
there's an E
in
there.
I'm not sure.
Oh, there is an E.
That's what really...
I thought it was Vato O'Rourke. Hey, Vato's...
Pretty sure Bato is a Star Wars character.
Colin Harrington says, check out Ron Perlman's Trump impression. He doesn't try to do the voice, but he nails the mannerisms.
I think that's the key to doing a Trump.
Yeah,
it's a really unique voice. Yeah. Someone should nail just the hair.
Yeah, if you can nail the hair.
Yeah.
Nah, physics won't allow it.
Yeah. That hair is a fucking marvel.
It is. It's amazing.
It's his greatest accomplishment.
Yeah. Like, no one knew you could grow a mullet and then comb it forwards and it becomes hair.
I had a boss who did that once. All right. So we should probably wrap it up because we're well over an hour. As I tweeted, I injured my tailbone last week. So this episode's getting very uncomfortable.
How did you do that?
I wore the wrong footwear in the rain and fell on some steps.
Ooh.
And landed hard.
Oh, boy.
Very hard.
Yeah. I love your tweet about it, man. That was very funny.
Yeah, it's like the ACL tear.
Yeah, exactly.
Podcasting. Like, I just re-aggravate it every time I work. And it's going to hurt for 6 to 8 months.
Yeah.
And I can't stand it. But what do we have to plug before we get out of here? Patreon.com/unpops. For $5 a month, you get at least 2 bonus episodes a week. Usually more than that, and you get all of our podcasts in one place, so you don't have to go looking around and shit. And also, October 27th at the Hollywood Hotel, we're doing a live PUI podcast where we come out, do comedy sober, and then we go get fucked up
and
record a podcast.
Hell yeah, dude.
Matt Lieb is hosting that.
So I will be staying sober the whole time.
Are you going to do the podcast fucked up?
Yes, good.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, Matt is going to be babysitting.
Really, yeah, I'm going to make sure everyone gets home safe.
So come to that. That's the 1 year anniversary of our live show at the Hollywood Hotel. Chet Wilde almost died last time we did this.
Oh, nice.
Because he had never consumed marijuana in his life and got really drunk and just snatched a huge chunk of a 500 milligram weed brownie
that I was eating.
He was gone until like the next day.
That's
was very bad.
Hilarious.
So that's fun. Matt, what do you got to plug?
Listen to the Film Drunk Fraudcast. We do that every week, twice a week now with bonus episodes. Film Drunk Fraudcast. And follow me on Twitter at Lieb. That's my last name. L-I-E as in eagle, B as in boy. 1-2-3-4-5-6-7-8-9. Once again, my worst Twitter handle ever at Lieb. 1-2-3-4-5-6-7-8-9.
Alex.
It's a good one.
Yeah, I think people have been very supportive about the Jeopardy thing, and I'm really grateful. So thank you guys.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
It's hell impressive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we all have money?
I was going to ask.
Yeah. I feel like we've put it off long enough.
Give me the money.
We will submit our request.
Give me the money.
I'll send you my Venmo.
Olivia, what do you got to plug?
You can check out my Venmo at Hi There, Hi Dar. No, and also my Twitter is also at Hi There, Hi Dar. That's HAIDAR. And yeah, that's it for
me. Nice. All right, let's get the fuck out of here. Olivia, say goodbye.
Bye.
Alex, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Matt, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you.